We are reading this morning from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Spoken word, eye contact, body language, touch, cave paintings, pictograms, smoke signals, handwritten notes, carrier pigeons, postal service, aka snail mail, the message runner, the original marathon man, the town crier, printing press, books, newspaper, semaphore, Morse code, sign language, braille, telephone, radio, TV, the telex machine, fax machines, cell phones, internet, email, text messages, social media, smartphones, video chat. Communication is an absolute necessity for not only the functioning of human society, but for the well-being of human beings. From creation, humans have communicated. Firstly, in fairly primitive ways, though the spoken word has not been surpassed, and then through increasingly sophisticated means. Changes in communication have happened so quickly that even science fiction is not able to keep up. In 1986, the movie Aliens was released, and Sigourney Weaver reprised her incredible role as Ellen Ripley. The movie is set in 2179. That's 159 years from today. And in one scene fairly early in the movie, Ripley was video chatting with Carter Burke, a real scumbag of a character played by Paul Reiser. And the equipment, the video chat equipment that they used was huge. And the picture was terrible and grainy. In 1986, even James Cameron couldn't imagine how we would be communicating just a few decades later. Communication is vital for human life. Good communication is vital for good relationships. And as parents, if we want to have good relationships with our kids, we must communicate well. If God, as creator, is also our loving Heavenly Father, would he not also want to communicate well with his children? Of course. Today we come to the next section of our Christianity 101 series, looking at the basics of the Christian faith. We turn our attention to the Bible and see the Bible as God's word to us. We read from Hebrews 4. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God, God speaking to his people. Now, back on May 17th, while we were looking at God in Jesus, in John's gospel, we saw that John referred to Jesus as the Word. God speaks with action and power. God spoke and creation happened. John used the analogy of the Word for Jesus, who is both fully God and fully human. Jesus is God's living Word, the most perfect expression of God. But God also spoke in other ways, in words and in actions, and that is what is recorded in God's written Word. The Bible was written by human hands, but it was inspired by God. We'll look at this a little more detail next week, but for now we see that in the words that humans wrote, God placed his word written. God reveals himself in his written word. God reveals himself in the Bible. He reveals his character, his will. He reveals his love and grace. He reveals his mercy and forgiveness. And he reveals his good news in Jesus, all he has done and is doing to save us. The word of God is alive and active. This refers to God's spoken word. It refers to God's living word in Jesus, but it also refers to God's written word in the Bible. God's word is alive. It is not a dead language. My dad told me a story about something that he did in high school Latin class. Latin was his least favorite subject. And he wrote a Latin exam and he got it all finished and he had a few minutes more. So he began to write on the exam paper itself, writing, "Latin is a language, at least it used to be. It killed off all the Romans, now it's killing me." And apparently his teacher wasn't impressed with that. The Bible is not a dead language. It is alive and it is at work. The word presents life. It reveals life. It offers life. Life in abundance and eternal life in Jesus. God's word is alive. And God's word is active. It fulfills the purpose to which it was spoken. God's word is effective. God's word is powerful. God's word is God speaking to us, to me and to you. Every time we read the Bible, every time we read the Bible, God is speaking to us. It is alive. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The sharp double-edged sword is an image that we find in other places in the Bible, like Revelation 19, where it represents God's word. The image here isn't so much about detailed theology as it is poetry about the power of God's word, the power of the Bible. God's word probes the inmost recesses of our spiritual being and brings our subconscious motives to light. Thomas Long writes of this verse, "God's word knifes through the curtain between heaven and earth, piercing into the depths of humanity, exposing to view the secret intentions of the heart. This sword is so sharp that it can separate even the soul from the spirit, dividing between what really matters and what seems to matter." That's part of the power of the Bible, part of the power of God's word, revealing what truly matters and separating it out from what only seems to matter. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Nothing is hidden from God. We may be able to hide things about ourselves from friends and neighbors. We may be able to hide things about ourselves from our spouse and our children. We may even be able to hide things about ourselves from ourselves if we spend enough time denying those things. But we will never hide anything from God. He sees it all. And in fact, God's word lays bare all that we try to keep hidden from others. God's word reveals his will, what he wants of us, the kind of life he calls his people to live, the character he expects of us. God's word leaves us without excuse. If we have any access to a Bible at all, we can never say, "But I didn't know." We can never say, "But I didn't know." God's word lays us bare as to our failure to live fully and completely in faithfulness to God. But God's word also proclaims the good news about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins in his sacrifice on the cross and in his rising from the dead. God's word proclaims forgiveness of sins. It proclaims abundant life in Jesus, eternal life in Jesus. It proclaims our adoption as God's children, as his own sons and daughters. And how all of that can be ours in turning to Jesus, seeking his forgiveness, accepting his mercy, trusting and following him. Down through the millennia, the Bible has been accepted by the church, all forms of the church, as God's word to his people. But it was written by fallible humans. Yes, but it was inspired by the perfect God. But it was written in the context of an ancient people who are so far removed from us that it's so distant. Sure, it takes work, but God's truth shines through. But there are parts of the Bible that contradict other parts. Sure, there are some historical details that are different in different places that we today might call contradictions, but for ancient people who viewed history very differently was not a contradiction to them. And there is nothing of substance in faith, nothing of substance in salvation or God's character that is in any way contradictory in the Bible. But there's no proof that the Bible is God's word. It would take faith to believe that. Well, yeah, it takes faith to believe that the Bible is God's word, just as it takes faith to trust that Jesus forgives us and saves us. It does. It takes faith. Why is that so hard? God's ancient people of Israel have always accepted what we call the Old Testament as God's word to the people. The church has always accepted the Old Testament and the New Testament as God's word to us because we see and hear in the Bible the very words of God spoken to our souls. When we read the Bible in faith, expecting to hear from God, the Holy Spirit works in us so that we hear God's word to us. Sure, it's true. We can read with suspicion and skepticism, and we won't hear God in it at all. But the truth is, God is still speaking if we would only listen. If God is God, and he is, and God says something, should we not want to hear what he has to say? Should we not yearn to listen to what he has to say? Should we not want to hear what our loving Heavenly Father has to say to us? Of course, he may say something we don't like. We like to fit in with the society around us. It's comfortable to be like everyone else. But Jesus is pretty countercultural. God will call us on our sin, sin that damages our relationship with him. If we do something that damages any of our relationships, would we not want to know that so that we can rectify it and build up a relationship that has struggled? So God doesn't pull punches, and he calls us on our sin. But over and over and over again, God also proclaims his love for us, his love for you in the Bible. Do you not want to hear that? And over again, God proclaims his grace in Jesus for you in the Bible. Do you not want to hear that? When we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, we will come to know God better. We will come to know about God, but when we are in relationship with God in Jesus, then through that process, we will come to know God better, and our relationship with him can deepen. When we read the Bible regularly, we will come to know God's will in a general kind of way. We will find that God is faithful in all of his relationships. He is faithful to us, and he calls us to be faithful to him as well. Even if that means giving up certain behaviors like jealousy or envy or self-centeredness. When we read the Bible, we will find that God's love for us is born out of action, and he calls us to love in that same way. The more we read the Bible, the better we will know God's will generally. But we will be in a better place to know God's will more specifically for our lives as well. When you trust Jesus as Savior and follow him as Lord, you want to live a life that pleases him. And that in part means asking him what he wants us to do with our lives, living the plan that God has for us. When I pulled the plug on my dream of being an architect, I figured that I had to decide what I was going to do with my life. And so I prayed a lot. I prayed asking God to reveal to me what he wanted me to do. I prayed a lot. But he wasn't answering me. Or at least I wasn't hearing his answer. Of course, I'm not exactly sure what I expected, how I expected God's answer to come to me. Not about what the answer would be, but how God would convey that answer to me. I don't think I was expecting a billboard where I was driving down the street one day and a big billboard at the side of the road said, "Grant Wilson, I want you to XYZ God." Don't think I was expecting that. Don't think I was expecting a lightning bolt or something amazing to jump out at me and just present it really clearly. It wasn't until I came to the realization that though I'd been asking God a lot what he wanted me to do, I had not taken the time to listen. And it was that day that I sat down with my Bible and the devotional booklet my mom gave me, and I turned to the page for that day, and I looked at the passage that it said that I was supposed to read. I'd been in lots of Bible studies. I had read the Bible. I'd heard lots of messages in churches. And the passage that day was Matthew 4, 18 to 22, Jesus calling his first followers to come with him. I had read or heard those words any number of times. But that day, those words jumped off the page at me. It was the proverbial 2x4 in the forehead. It was so clear, so obvious, so powerful. The Holy Spirit took words that I knew and brought them to a whole new level for me that day. When we read the Bible, we will at times find God speaking very personally and very specifically and very powerfully to us. But we have to read the Bible for that to happen. If God is God, should we not want to hear what he has to say? If God is God, should we not long to know what he wants to say to us? If God is God, should we not take the time in a busy day not only to talk to God, but to listen to him? Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the Bible. And we thank you that you speak to us, that in the Bible we come to know you better, that we come to know your will in a general way, but that we also come to know your will for the specifics of our lives. We thank you that you reveal yourself in the words and the pages of the Bible. Give us a yearning to hear from you. Transform us, Lord, by the working of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we pray for this world. We pray for a world that is so full of prejudice and injustice. So into this world, Lord, we pray for your justice. We see that this world is so full of hate and intolerance. So, Lord, we pray that you would send your love. Lord, we see in this world that it is so full of selfishness and self-importance. So we pray that you would send your grace. And use us, Lord. Use us to live your justice, to live your love, to live your grace. Father, we pray your blessing upon Bernie Mullins' family. We thank you for him and his participation in the life of St. Paul's. We pray your blessing of comfort and hope for his family. Lord, we also pray for the family of Hans Kauenberg. We pray that you would uphold them in your comfort and your grace. And Father, today we pray for the Fluitt family as they prepare to move west this week. We pray for Paul and Danielle, for Ruby and Atticus and Vivienne and Kip. We pray your blessing upon them, that we, along with you, might send them west, and that they would take up a place in Abbotsford and in a church in Abbotsford and give you glory with their lives and the life of their family. We pray your blessing to go with them and upon them in these coming days. Our God, all these prayers we offer to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.